Truth is, I am Iron Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Real Talk, a movie podcast. We are your go-to source for ratings and recommendations of past and present films. I am your host, Wes Jones, podcasting from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Hey, this is Tommy, podcasting straight from Nashville, Tennessee.
The movie buddy Conway, podcasting from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Hey, Real Talk. As the crazy genocidal maniac Thanos would say, this episode was inevitable. So step into the multiverse as we take a deep dive into the Marvel Studios. That's right. We're focusing on one studio tonight, and that's going to be the most successful studio going in Hollywood right now. We're talking about Marvel Studios. So we're not going to be talking about any DC films. So there's not going to be any Zack Snyder Justice League for all of our fans out there that love that movie. We're not going to be talking about the X-Men films or any of those or Fantastic Four. We're just going to be talking about really the last 14 years or so of the Marvel Studios. Like I said, it's really the most successful studio going on right now. They've changed Hollywood in so many ways that I don't think people even really appreciate how they've changed Hollywood for good and for bad. So I think step right in, sit back, grab some coffee, turn on Thor or whichever is your favorite Marvel movie, and let's get into this awesome episode that we've got planned for you tonight. So before we get into Marvel Studios, I want to bring in our co-host tonight, Gabe. Gabe, come on in here, man. Are you excited to start talk about Marvel and really comic books? Because, you know, we've been doing this podcast for 2 years, and we have not really touched on comic books a whole lot.
Yeah, man. I'm actually pumped. I was thinking about it before I got on here, T-Man. And these comic book movies, like, they're the movies that I go to the movie theater to see. And this is what I was thinking about today. I looked through the list, so, like, in preparation for the episode, I got a list of, like, the order you should watch them in. I don't know if you've heard of this, T-Man. Have you heard of, like, there's an actual order, like starting with Captain America, ending with the new
Spider-Man. I don't think I know this list, yeah.
Yeah, well, it basically goes through, like, chronologically, not, like, from when they were released, but if you were to follow along the Marvel-verse, which order you should watch them in if you were to watch them all over. Because I was thinking about doing it. You can watch them all on Disney+, except for, like, the Incredible Hulk and I think Spider-Man Homecoming you have to watch on Amazon, too. Man, I think I'm about to do this again. And I was looking at the list and I was like, wait, I have seen every one of these in the theater. Because that's what you think about when you think
Absolutely.
About Marvel. You think about big theater, getting your popcorn, shutting off your brain, just having some fun and watching some, you know, comic book movies. But then, I mean, some of these you got to turn your brain a bit on for. So I don't know. I'm pretty pumped because I get pumped to watch movies like that in the theater.
Yeah, absolutely. You make a great point. First, I got to get that list because I really got to rewatch all these movies again. I've rewatched a lot of them, but not in order, like you're saying. And I know a lot of people during the pandemic, a lot of people did that. They watched a lot of these movies all in a row, which is pretty cool. And you're right, Gabe. These are the movies that people love to go watch in the theaters. And you know, I'm a big movie theater guy. I know you are too. And so yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why I love the Marvel movies. I know you do too, is because they are made and designed for the movie theater. I don't care what Disney says, you know, when they released Black Widow on Disney Plus, such a horrible idea, by the way. Nobody wants to watch Black Widow on Disney Plus. They want to go to the theater and watch it. So I think you make a great point.
I didn't watch it on Disney Plus. I went to the theater to watch Black Widow. Now, one caveat for what I just said. For this episode, tried to watch The Eternals. Like, I really tried, T-Man. And I can pretty much watch anything. Like, in a reviewing the new coming up, I watched the movie Jackass, and I don't even like those movies. But I tried to watch The Eternals on four different occasions and could not get into it. Every other film I've seen in the theater. So that's my only caveat.
I'll be honest. I haven't seen that one either. It's the only one I haven't seen.
There's some monster in the sea, and like I just turn it off like because it's just boring. I don't know.
It looked pretty bad, yeah. And that's another thing about Marvel is they're very consistent. They're consistently good. And we'll talk more about that here
and
in
you know,
a little bit.
You know what that speaks
to?
Hold on, before we get in, you know what I thought about too with that? Is Chloe Zhao, or whoever that directed it, directed Nomadland, the best picture of the previous year. That shows how hard it is to direct these movies. Like, it's not a, it's, you could say, hey, man, this, these movies are easy to direct. I don't know if they are.
No, it takes a certain skill set, absolutely. And we're going to get into that a little bit. So save your thoughts on that, Gabe. Let's kind of give everybody kind of an idea of what we're going to do in this episode. Because this is going to be pretty fun, I think. So we've been wanting to do a Marvel-centric episode because this is really kind of the major studio out there right now. And we're going to give you a little history about it. We're going to talk about some points about different things about the studio. And then we're also going to do a top five Marvel movies. So we're each going to, Gabe and I are going to name our top five. Now, for our Real Talk listeners out there, you may be wondering, well, what about Wes? Isn't he going to join us tonight? Well, guys, I've got some bad news. Wes didn't want to join tonight. So I know you've probably noticed that he does, you know, talk about how he doesn't like comic book movies. And so we offered for him to join, and he said, no, guys, I want to skip this one out. I'm sad he couldn't join, and I think it's shameful in a lot of ways because Wes does talk a lot about the fans and how he loves the fans, but he didn't want to come out here and be on the comic book movie episode, which is really for the fans. So I want everybody to, you know, blow up our email and say, hey, Wes, why didn't you join that comic book episode?
Hit that email up. We've been pushing for that, and it's just disheartening, Tommy, to be honest with you. I go on all these horror movie episodes. I get scared for Wes. I watch these things with my little buddy hat on and get scared and can't sleep at night, have bad buddy dreams, and he can't even hop on these comic book episodes. You know, I mean, these are easy, fun watches.
He's probably watching some high elevated horror film instead of joining us for this episode. I don't know what to say. So we're just going to move on before we take a rabbit hole down there.
Yeah.
Let's give a little history about the Marvel Studios, because it's pretty interesting, actually. So Marvel, of course, is a comic book company. And, you know, they were very successful through the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s even, creating all of these great characters. But they couldn't bust into the movie business. I don't know if, Gabe, you remember those really cheesy movies they tried to make. I think in the late 80s, they tried to do like a Fantastic Four that went to like direct-to-video. It was truly awful.
I don't think a lot of people watched them, did they?
No, it was like direct-to-video. It was so badly made. So they weren't very successful, and what they actually ended up doing was selling off their characters to other studios. So they sold they sold off Spider-Man to Sony. They sold off X-Men to 20th Century Fox. They sold off Blade. A lot of their characters they sold off to other studios. And what happened is with X-Men and Spider-Man and those characters, they became very successful movies and movie franchises. So what happened was Marvel decided, you know what, all of these movies are becoming really popular. What if we took some of our characters and created our own studio? So what they did was they entered into it's called a non-recourse financing structure. I'm not going to get too into the weeds on this. Marvel actually got a lot of funding through a non-recourse financing structure. They got over $500 million to take a lot of their characters and make 10 movies. And these were the movies that we were first introduced to. But the funny thing is, a lot of these characters were considered B characters. Characters such as Ant-Man, you know, Doctor Strange, Shang-Chi, you know, a lot of these characters nobody really heard of. There were some A-list characters such as Captain America and Thor, but honestly, nobody really knew if this was going to work. And so their ace in the hole, though, was Kevin Feige, who's really been their master, I guess, producer all this time. And he had a vision of taking all these characters and creating a shared universe, which has really never been done before. So they took a shared universe and started linking all of these characters up. And it started with Iron Man. And that movie was really successful. You know, like a huge hit that nobody expected. And it just continued on from there. Then they released, you know, Captain America and Thor. And they started linking all these characters until you finally got to the big game changer, which was the Avengers. And so, Gabe, I wanted you to bring in here, and just over that brief little history that I gave to you, what sticks out to you, and do you remember when the first Iron Man came out, and kind of what was your reaction to it?
Well, love the first Iron Man, but what sticks out to me, so, like, let me ask you this question. So, like, with Spider-Man and stuff, did they buy back Spider-Man for, like, Spider-Man Homecoming and movies like that? What happened with that?
It really gets complicated, and it's a great question, but all this business stuff gets really complicated of who owns what. But basically what happened was, after The Amazing Spider-Man 2 didn't do super well at the box office, Sony went to Marvel, because Marvel had so many movies that were successful in a row, and said, do you want to partner with us on the next Spider-Man? Bring in Spider-Man to the Marvel Universe, but we'll still have most of the control of the character. And so that's what it ended up being, was Sony and Marvel partnered together to create the new Tom Holland Spider-Mans, even though Sony still controls the rights to them.
No, I mean, when Iron Man first came out, I remember I am Iron Man, and I'm just being, yes, you are, and being pumped up and walking out of that theater.
The very end, know? Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many great memories about, you know, the Hulk, and just seeing a bunch of there were cartoon versions of it on when I was a kid. So when it and there were comics, like, we did read comics back then. We did read, you know, Children of Days today. And so there were comics and, you know, action figures and lunchbox figures. So it was just cool to see that on the big screen. So I remember being pumped about, you know, Marvel when it was first kicking off.
Yeah, and what's really interesting is, you know, they took a lot of these characters that maybe you weren't super familiar with. Yeah, you might have been familiar with Captain America or Thor, but I remember when they did Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that was really the first one where people were like, whoa, can Marvel really pull this off? Can they really take one of these characters that's like really a B-level character group, and they're quirky and they're in space and, you know, they're just weird, and make them a hit? And you know what? They pulled it off and it became one of their biggest hits. And that's when everybody knew, whoa, Marvel is on to something here. Like, don't mess with Marvel. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. In fact, I think the second Guardians of the Galaxy did even better than the first Guardians of the Galaxy. It was like so big. Like, it had them, and a huge resounding yes to Can They Do It, because Guardians of the Galaxy is probably my favorite group of characters in the Marvel multiverse now, and my wife's 100%. So
I love that group of characters. No, that's a great point. And Gabe, before we get into the shared universe, I want to talk a little bit about just kind of how they changed Hollywood for probably the bad in that way. But I think you want to talk a little bit about just the Marvel film template.
The Marvel formula. Have you heard people say that, T-Man? Have you heard
people? I have. Absolutely.
Like, all these movies follow an exact formula. And I don't think they do, but let's introduce a little bit about the formula. So I combined a couple that I've seen with a little bit of my own, and I made the Gabe Marvel formula. So that's what we'll call it for this episode. Is that acceptable to you, T-Man?
All right. I like it. Let's go with it. Gabe all Marvel right. formula. Let's copyright it, too.
Let's copyright it for real talk. All right. So you have a key scene. Like, you, so first, what you're getting ready to write your Marvel movie, first, what you got to develop is your key scene. I don't care if it's your Thanos flick, your I Am Iron Man, your Captain Marvel fighting Iron Man, your elevator battle, your battle in Wakanda, your Doctor Strange reaction scene. I really don't care what you develop. One key scene that you're going to have to make your movie stand out from all the others. Then you develop a powerful item. Mm. Then you just work backwards. You
have to have the powerful item.
You got to have the powerful item that's impossible to. I don't care what, if it's the cloak off of Doctor Strange. I don't care if it's the gauntlet. I don't care if it's the Thor hammer. You have an item. So step three, first, you have the first battle. Hero always loses. Step four, second battle. Hero usually loses again. Step five, develop a little inner turmoil. Starts doubting himself. And then step six, final battle. Where they finally win. And notice I said three battles in there because these are action movies. There's lots of battles. But first two battles, you've got to, you know, it's kind of like Rocky. You got to start losing, and then you've got to win. You've got to develop that inner turmoil and that struggle. Then you got to get past it. And then step seven, some cameo performances. And so it's pretty simplistic, T-Man. And I used to think, no, you can't put a formula to this. Well, I just combined a bunch of people's formulas. And I think it's like a lot of movies. Like, you think Shang-Chi. goes right by that formula. The powerful items, the rings, you know, the step one, they lose the first battle a little bit. Step two, lose to the dad or whatever. Step three, mega dragon battle. And each battle, you introduce just a little bit more CGI, but you know, you have your key scene. You have that ring battle at the end where he's finally got the rings and bam, it's awesome. But I mean, you can do this for every Marvel movie. And I think there is a bit of a formula to it.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to look at it. I think we're going to talk about a little bit some criticism of Marvel here in a little bit. But I think you're right. I think that's where some of the criticism comes into play with Marvel and maybe comic movies in general, is they do follow kind of a set template of what you're saying of, you know, you've got the central hero. They go on a quest of some type and they have to achieve something or get a MacGuffin. You know, they always call it the MacGuffin. They have to get that MacGuffin. And they lose a couple times in the beginning and middle to ultimately overcome it. And usually that ending is a big CGI, as they say, CGI fest.
Yeah, but you add more CGI. You add more,
right.
What me and you talk about is civilian destruction, which basically in these movies, they don't really care about everybody else.
Add let me more. Push back a little bit more, though, because, you know, I think you're right. There is a template. But here's the thing. That's why Marvel is so successful, is because they have a template and they do it better than anybody else.
Correct.
Whereas all the other studios are trying to chase Marvel and copy their template, Marvel's already got the template and they're doing it so well that people are like, oh, I know what they're doing, but it still works. I mean, look at the most recent Spider-Man. We're not going to, you know, spoil it. But that movie was hugely successful from a box office and critical perspective. People love it because they do all these things that we know. We may not know what's going to happen, but it's a very well-worn template that we like. And don't forget, Gabe, I think another thing we'd be remiss without saying is Marvel has a lot of humor in it. Like, I think that's one of its secret weapons. Almost every one of their films is funny. Like, it's not dark. They're not dour like the DC films have been prone to be. They're very kind of upbeat, up-tempo, lots of fun action, and lots of humor. So I think the humor part is one of the best keys to their success. Yeah, so anything else on that template you want to bring up?
You kind of combated me on it a little bit, and they do it better than anybody else. And
absolutely.
I think that you can have that template, but they have such unique ideas. Like Thor Ragnarok, you know, they've got such Guardians of the Galaxy, they've got such unique ideas that they can put to them, but still utilize that formula. And who cares? It works. It works every time. And it gets everybody out to the theaters because, you know, we'll get into it later, I'm sure. But the four quadrant blockbuster works like a charm, too. So they've maximized on everything. And on the humor note, Tommy's been talking about the fact that he has this problem with like too many funny characters. But I've also noticed some of his favorite movies are Guardians of the Galaxy, when there's lots of funny characters. There's a funny raccoon, Root, and
true,
just
Gabe.
A guy that has a strange, like, what?
That just goes for animated films, by the way.
Oh, you can't like loop that into the Marvel verse.
No. That it's off the table for live action.
Okay, fine.
But that is a really good point. But yeah, I think you make a great point. And here's the thing: Marvel Studios, they're not making movies to win Oscars. They're making movies for people that just like to go to the movies or just general audiences to enjoy. And that's the thing. And I think that's one of the main reasons I want to do this episode, is they are just the mainstream studio blockbuster that does it better than anybody else. And I think it's harder than people realize. And let's get into some of these shared universes from other studios. And I think people will realize, wow, what Marvel does and has done is pretty extraordinary. I mean, their hit to fail ratio is seismic. They haven't made very many bad movies. I mean, The Eternals, some people will say, maybe that The Incredible Hulk movie, but almost every one of their films is either good to really good to great. And then when you're talking about linking all these movies together and then ending, you know, with the Avenger films, I mean, it never been done before.
I don't think these other studios know how to do it. Even when DC does it, it's like they just say Batman versus Superman, and then it's a one-off and then it's done.
They don't know how to do it. You're exactly right, Gabe, because Marvel had a plan. They had Kevin Feige to set that plan in motion. And DC, for your example, you know, DC saw the success of Avengers and was like, we've got to do that too. And so they brought in Zack Snyder, who I like Zack Snyder, but he was not the right choice for this. He made all those really dark movies, and they packed it in after like four movies. You know, so a lot of studios started to chase that shared universe. Think of all those movies, Gabe, that you remember thinking like, oh, this is going to be another one of these interconnected universes. You've heard a lot about that, right?
But to that degree, like, this was set up from the beginning with Marvel. It was like these other studios were trying to do it after the fact, and so it just didn't work.
It didn't work. And I think the nadir of that, of really what stopped it, a lot of movies aren't doing this anymore, if you notice. Now a lot of them just kind of do the sequel, like the old school sequel. Like, that's what it always used to be. You make a movie, if it's successful, then you'll get a sequel. Not one of these where, you know, DC would, like, have a five-year plan of all these movies and all these dates, and then a lot of them didn't even come to fruition. But I think the nadir of this was when Universal brought out that dark universe. Gabe, do you remember this, where they were going to make all of these horror movies all interconnected? And the first one they brought out was the Tom Cruise. And I love Tom Cruise,
but this
was not a hit. It was The Mummy. And they even released a picture of all of the actors that was going to play it. It was going to be like Angelina Jolie, Tom Cruise, Johnny Depp, and they're all going to play these different characters. And truly, The Mummy was such a bomb for them, they shut it all down.
I didn't see that in the theater, and I love The Mummy, so I don't know why that happened. Maybe the trailer was so bad. I don't know.
It wasn't a great movie. It was a bad idea of bringing it to modern day, but I just kind of laughed that they literally were so confident that they had this, you know, image of all the actors in the same shot. You can look it up online. It's pretty famous for kind of, because it never came to anything. Universal was like, you know what? After all this, forget it. Let's just shut down the dark universe, because they realized they could not do it as well as what Marvel did. Marvel had a plan, like you said, Gabe, and stuck to that plan, and they're continuing to this day. You know, Marvel has gone through multiple phases now, and you know, each phase.
Fine. I'll do it myself.
What do we got going on here?
Wait, who's this?
This is Wes.
What's going on, Wes? Wait a minute.
I keep hearing Universe. It almost sounds like we got an episode going on here.
Wait a minute, man. Hey, well, we do. But remember, we talked about this. We're going to do this episode.
Wait a minute, T-Man, you're recording this phone call?
I don't remember that.
No, well, we talked about it. You were like...
So here's what I was doing. I was just hanging out on a Wednesday night. I looked down at my phone, and I'm like, why is my Skype on? Like, what is going on? Like, who is Skyping? And sure enough, I click on it, and I'm listening as a fly on the wall. You guys don't even know I'm here. I don't think this is just one of y'all's little normal calls. Y'all get together and you talk movies. It sounds like we're in the middle of a Marvel episode. I think that's what we got going on.
We're making an episode for the fans.
Yeah, we're making it for the fans, Wes. You said you didn't want to do comic books.
No. It's not that I didn't want to do comic books. Here's what I think it is. I think you guys are just so like Marvel loving, Marvel crazy. You didn't want me to come on, take a dump on Marvel, throw the whole episode off, and so we got a little game here of think going behind people's backs and getting episodes going on. So here's what I think I should do. I should go grab like a Nintendo Power Glove, put six little Fruity Pebbles on it, and just snap this podcast out of existence. And then maybe one day we can hop in a time machine and go back and right this wrong.
I'm going to save you the time, Wes. You don't need a Fruity Bevel Power Glove to snap this out of existence. You're the editor, and you do pretty much everything for it, so you could just not show up, and you've done it.
Don't ever make fun of the Infinity Glove, first off. That's the truth. Well, since you're here,
I might as well join. When in Rome.
Might as well join, yeah. When in Rome, come on and have some fun on the Marvel episode, because that's what we're doing. We're talking about Marvel.
You know, we were thinking we would save you from yourself. You know, we didn't want you crapping on the fans. And then, you know, sometimes you just got to save people from themselves. And it's like Britney Spears. that's a sore subject. Let's not go down there. But, you know, that's what we try to do with you, Wes. We try to save you from yourself. But hop on in here and tell us. But you did pick a Marvel movie as your favorite movie of last year. So maybe.
I did. See, I thought I had totally redeemed myself in both your eyes and the Marvel fans' eyes. And here, I still get cut out.
All the true Marvel fans, they knew that was you. Just make you're like, I just got to put this in here. I got to get good with them.
That wasn't the real talk, was it? Like, if it was real talk, I would have picked some horror movie, you know, instead of that.
Well, Wes, I'm glad you're here, man, because it will give us a little different perspective. So, since you're here, why don't we get your thoughts on just Marvel Studios and comic book films in general? Because from my understanding, you're not the biggest fan of them. So, why is that? Tell our fans out there why.
I want to lay just a little bit of groundwork because I don't want anybody to think that I've never been interested in comic book films or don't like comic book movies, period. And that's not the case at all. I mean, whenever I was a kid, I bought comic books. I liked Wolverine. I bought the Ninja Turtle comic books. I even got into a little bit of a few on the Marvel side. Definitely bought some Batman. So I like comic book movies. Heck, in 1989, the summer of 89, I was at the drive-in theater, first comic book movie I'd ever seen, and watched 89's Batman and loved it. So I've watched the offerings over the years, and I do like comic book films, but I don't like the oversaturation that we have now. And for someone like me that has a wide variety of films that they really enjoy, yes, I can run out to the theater and I can see a variety of different films, but the ones that seemingly draw the most people, make the most money, that all the studios are behind and pushing, and it's all comic book stuff. And I have what's called little bit of fatigue, and I also have a lot of Marvel fatigue. I mean, there's 27. Is there 27 in this line of films?
Yeah, I think it's films. Yeah, I think that's where we're at.
And that's it. I'm just a little fatigued with it. I'm tired of all the. It's not the movies themselves necessarily. It's everything that's around it that encompasses the whole thing. It's theme parks. It's action figures. It's every little kid is running around with it. It's water cooler talk. It's just. I'm just a little fatigued with it.
It shows to fill in the gaps between the movies. So, you know, we've got it all now, Wes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm, you know, to further the fatigue, I'm here talking about them on our show.
Yeah.
Well, I think.
Well, I thought it was our show, but apparently it's y'all's show.
It's the Marvel show tonight. Marvel is taking over. That's another thing. Marvel's taking over Real Talk. So that's another thing they own. We've been bought by Disney. I don't know if you guys knew this. not for a lot of money, I'll be honest.
We've been trying to introduce the multiverse, we've been trying to intermingle our universe too by hopping on all these podcasts like Father and Son and, you know, Back in Time. We're creating our own multiverse, and it's been pretty successful from what I think. I don't know. What do you guys think?
There you go, Gabe. I like the multiverse joke. well, I think
subpar at best.
Yeah, average, yes. I think to Wes's point around movies, comic books, I think you're right in a lot of ways around the oversaturation. I think this is something we've talked about of just the movies in general have kind of been kiddie. You know, they're kind of made for kids now in a lot of ways. Even the movies that are like supposedly made for adults are really made for kids. They're made for everybody to go see, basically. And I think comic book movies have had a lot to do with that. So I think that's probably, I don't want to speak for you, but I feel that too. I like adult movies, the movies made for adults. And while I like comic book movies, I also like movies that, you know, maybe are R-rated or whatever. And we don't seem to get a lot of those because of the domination of the comic book genre in a lot of ways.
And we've talked about it in the aspect of, I see what you're saying too, Wes, like, the other day when I went to the movies, it was like 2 months ago, and like Spider-Man Far From Home was on screen 1 through 11, and then there were 3 other movies being shown. Well, I would like to see, you know, what was out then. I think Licorice Pizza, and we didn't even have a way to see it.
But here's the thing. Who's to blame? it's not really the movie studios. It's not really Hollywood. It's the fans. It's people. They're the ones going to the movies, and they're the ones spending the money. And as with anything, whatever works, Hollywood will do. Comic book movies are the ones making the money.
I think that
I didn't really finish my thought very well when I was talking about, when I was breaking it down about going to the theater and stuff. But that is one of the things. It's not so much that I'm just a little, I guess, envious of the Marvel movies that they do, to Gabe's point, take up some of the screens, and that they're the ones that are making all the money. And so they just keep making more and more and more of them. I mean, we're about to be on another iteration of the Batman, which, I mean, actually, I'm probably going to go see that. It looks awesome. But just how many are in the pipe and stuff like that. And I'm just like, man, is it ever going to end, kind of thing, where we just get like a really good one every few years?
And, no.
Yeah.
It will never end.
That's my thing about it. So when I went to go see Iron Man, and I think it came out in 2008, if I'm remembering correctly. But anyway, when I went to go see Iron Man, I left the theater that day and I was like, that is great. That's how you make a comic book movie. I absolutely loved it. Aside from Batman and Spider-Man, I'd never really liked any other comic book movies that were out, and most of them sucked, let's be honest. But after I saw that, I was like, this is really cool. And it got me excited enough for me to watch several of the next Marvel films. But if we remember correctly, I believe the next one that came out was maybe The Incredible Hulk and then Iron Man 2. So it took them a little while before they really started to get into a rhythm with these films, because both of those movies I thought were terrible. Iron Man 2 is an abomination. I think it is awful. I watched it recently again, tried to watch it for the second time because Whiplash is such a cool villain, and I just hated it. I was like, this movie is terrible.
Yeah, they didn't start out very well after Iron Man. You're right. They took a little while to get going.
I'm glad we got Wes going. You know, Grumpy Wes is going. He's like, you kids with your eating your Tide Pods.
Grumpy Wes is back tonight.
Watching your Marvel movies. You kids with, I mean, just, come on, Grumpy Wes, give it to us.
Yeah, you grumpy kids with your streaming services. What is Disney Plus? I can't even get my iPhones. TV turned on.
You're probably watching it on your iPhones while chewing your Tide Pods.
Well, you see what's happening with these damn kids. They watch all this stuff. They think they're superheroes. The little bastards are running off the sides of houses and crashing onto the ground and hurting themselves. I mean, guys, this TikTok generation has got to go. Like, let's scrap it. Let's move on to the next generation.
I thought you had some Thanos in you.
That's what I'm telling you. I'm Thanos now.
Wes is the Thanos of real talk.
I'm about to take this power glove and Fruity Pebbles and snap that generation gone.
Oh, Wes.
Oh, man. I didn't know.
Okay.
It's always
getting
good
a little dark. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
When we get into genocide, maybe time to change the subject.
That's what we've decided here at Real Talk. That's our line, genocide.
Well, no, I think you guys make some good points. And Wes, I don't disagree with you. I think you make a lot of good points around. I feel the same way. You know, I think the way I look at it is, I think Marvel is separate from all these others. They're so successful and they're so good. It's like, celebrate their success. They only release, what, 2 movies a year? That's not, you know, that's fine. That's great. I'm glad they're successful. But it doesn't mean that every movie studio has to try to replicate them and can't make other movies. So I think it's like one of those things of, it almost reminds me of Jaws. Let me kind of give you this. This is something I've thought about. It's kind of like with Jaws and Spielberg when he released that. You know, Jaws was so successful that it invented the summer blockbuster, a lot of people say. And then with the invention of the summer blockbuster, a lot of people say that, well, that killed movies, you know, film of the 1970s, you know, real movies, you would argue. But here's the thing. Maybe it did. Maybe it did kind of set Hollywood out to kind of just make those huge blockbusters. But that doesn't mean Jaws itself isn't a masterpiece, isn't one of the great films of all time. So it's like, you have to respect what that is. You have to respect what Jaws is, while also saying, yeah, maybe also what they're doing is not healthy for the industry. And I kind of look at Marvel the same way. Marvel is very successful and they're very good at what they do, but maybe all the other things that they've done isn't so great. I can agree with that. Kind of what you're saying, Wes, it kind of made all these other studios try to do what Marvel did. Instead of just doing their own thing, they tried to replicate Marvel and a lot of times failed.
Right. And it's not even the comic book films that are trying to replicate it anymore. I mean, you've got everything is trying to be a shared universe, and that's adding to the fatigue. But one of the thoughts that I had as you were talking through that is I'm so tired of the Hollywood cycle, and we'll never get out of it in my lifetime, I'm sure. Like, you just gave the example of Jaws, and then you had the summer blockbusters that follow. Well, let's go to slashers. You have Halloween. It created something that lasted, you know, heavily for nearly the next decade of ripoff after ripoff after ripoff of Halloween. And then the same thing happened with Scream. And you can say Quentin Tarantino, you know, he brought in this, you know, very witty writing and the indie film. And then you had a bunch of imitators with that. And then you've got Marvel. And you can just kind of keep going. It's like every once in a while there's a great idea in Hollywood, and then we have to filter through the next decade plus of carbon copied, and typically, not in all cases, we always have individual cases, but most of it becomes worse as time goes on. It's like that Michael Keaton movie, Multiplicity. Yes. Yeah. It's each copy of him just gets a little worse and a little dumber.
Well, it's like, I think it's a good point, because Hollywood at the end of the day is about making money. And yeah, there are great artists in Hollywood, but a lot of the studio heads, the people that greenlight movies, they're not artists. They're business people, you know, and they just care about making money. I think ultimately that's the issue right there. It's one of the most interesting, I've always thought it's one of the most interesting industries there is, because it's trying to balance art and commerce at the highest level, you know, and it's so hard to do. So when you do get great films, sometimes it's just by luck and happenstance, and, you know, we're just lucky in that way. So, yeah, it's a really good point. Gabe, any other thoughts on that?
I understand, Wes, that you hate it, that movies became fun, but I think that the blockbuster...
Oh, yeah, the no fun, Wes, too.
You know,
grumpy, no fun.
You know, I mean, you've talked about this, T-Man. You named all those boring movies in the 70s, and then they made fun movies in the 80s, and then... You know, like Ghostbusters, and they made it fun to go to the movies. Then they were like, man, these blockbusters are awesome because the whole family can go. So that includes the 30, yeah, you know, the 30s and the 40-year-olds. They can bring their whole families to these movies and watch them. And then the Avengers was like, oh, well, we can just do that even better, where we can make it even more, you know, kid-friendly, because it's about comic books, which children love. And then they just maximized it because – there's this universe of them, so they've got to see what happens to each of these other characters. And so, bada bing, bada boom. But yeah, the formula, it will probably stick around for a long time, Wes. And, you know, Hollywood's not going to go away with, like, capitalizing on something that works, because they're getting even more and more into it. I hate to break it to you.
It's going to take a lot more people than me to get fatigued with it before it's going to halt anything.
We're trying, Wes. We're trying to bring back those big, big dramas, me and T-Man and you, but it ain't working.
Three guys, yeah.
We're only three guys here.
I think we all agree, honestly, on the same thing. I think we're all fine. Like, we like these type of big, you know, blockbusters. I love them. At the same time, we also want other types of movies. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where we're all kind of in line of, like, yeah, let's get these types, and especially Marvel, because they're so good at it. We love that. But can we also have some other types of movies? I agree with that. And I think it kind of goes to some of the other criticisms of Marvel. And really not Marvel. It's just comic books in general. Movies have just changed, just like everybody changed, just like society changes. Movies will be completely different 30 years from now, too, at the same time.
These movies keep on changing, and Wes keeps staying the same.
Wes is just boiling. When he heard me say movies change, he flipped over his table.
You know, I know why he doesn't like these, man. These are all over 2.5 hours. He hates that. Wes likes his short movies.
Yeah, that's the thing with this group of friends. You make one comment and just said, hey, I don't know what the deal was with every damn movie being 2.5 hours for the Oscar season. And then all of a sudden you don't like that either.
Oh, yeah, that was a great comment. I don't know if we've talked about this. And this is Games Unleashed. I'm trying to move on to the next segment. Game keeps going after
Fire West.
This is good stuff. This is great.
Well, I'm glad I showed up. Guys against each other.
Right. This is great stuff. Well, Wes, Gabe is kind of like Captain America. You know, he sees Wes as Thanos and he's got to, you know, he's going after him. But I just have a final thing to talk about, or just a couple final thoughts around Marvel till we get into our top five. And, you know, I was really just wanting to say that the criticism of comic movies, guys were in good company. You know, Martin Scorsese, you know, that was a huge thing that he talked about last year, where he said that comic movie, he doesn't like them because they're basically like going to a theme park. They're like a roller coaster ride. You know, that's fine, but that's not what he considers as film. You know, Martin Scorsese, huge film scholar, loves films. And I think he made an interesting point. And Francis Ford Coppola, who of course did some of the great movies of all time, just recently talked about Marvel and really movies in general. I thought he made a really interesting point. Oh, he said that all the movies nowadays really just have the same template, even movies that aren't comic book movies. Basically, he said that you could take any action sequence out of, let's say, James Bond. He mentioned the new James Bond movie and Dune. And he said those two directors are great, but the template has gotten so, you know, basically old in Hollywood that he said you could take the exact structure of each of their action sequences and he could come out and re-edit, and he would know exactly how they're edited. And he said, you just plop them in the other, and they're the same kind of template. And I think he's not wrong in a lot of ways. And I think it goes to your point, Gabe, around just these movies, especially blockbuster movies, have such a formula to them that they want to follow because Hollywood knows it works. So I just want to make those two final points. Guys, do you have anything else you all want to talk about Marvel or comic book movies in general? Gabe, I think you want to talk about four quadrant films a little bit.
I mean, we've already hit on it. I think one of the big things that Marvel did is like the whole family can go. And you're right. Older people, you know, like our age aren't going to the theater. I am. I mean, I go all the time. It's one of my favorite pastimes. But most of the people I talk to don't. But, you know, when they will, it's when their kid that's 12 or 13 wants to see a movie and they can, and the studio can slightly get them interested in something, then they will. Like, and or if they're slightly interested in a character and their kid wants to go, they're like, well, I might check out a movie. And so they do. And so that gets like both groups into the theater. I tell you, there's nothing really else I want to say, but I'll tell you what else Marvel's done a really good job of is their characters and their humor. And I think that those two things, I think Wes made a good point at the very beginning where Iron Man was great. But then Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2. I didn't really even love the first Thor or the first Captain America. But then right when it gets to Captain America Winter Soldier, it really starts hitting it out of the park with all the characters. And then Guardians of the Galaxy, don't get me into that. I love Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor, Ragnarok. You know, so they really started getting into the characters and really good characters, really good humor, really good worlds. And so,
I think
I love
right,
that
Gabe.
We're talking Marvel.
Yeah, I think you make a good point about the characters. And I think that's one of the secrets to Marvel movie success is they have really good characters with really good actors, but you're rooting for them. I think that's the thing about Marvel. It's about good guys and bad guys. And people love that. It goes back to, you know, comic book movies in a lot of ways are like the Westerns from the 40s or 50s. They're like the sci-fi fantasy films from around Star Wars. We've always had these type of movies. And this is no different. You know, you got the good guys and the bad guys. You've got characters you really want to root for. And I think that's what Marvel does so well. They cast great actors. I mean, think of how many great actors, Academy Award-winning actors, have been in these movies. And then you root for them, and you really like them. They're just good people, good actors, good characters with a lot of humor. I think that's another secret to it is they're very watchable in that way.
I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch, Robert Downey Jr., that guy, whoever is Iron Man, Chris Hemsworth, that my wife is in love with. I mean, you got these people that are just stars. And, I mean, heck, I'd go watch anything with Benedict Cumberbatch in it. That's
absolutely. What, you know.
So there except, you go.
Except Power of the Dog. Wes, what were you going to say?
Except Power. Oh, man. dislike of Marvel. We talked a little bit about kind of the fatigue and everything around it, not so much about the movies themselves. So I did want to make just a couple of points about me personally as somebody who goes and watches movies, and another reason why I'm not the biggest on these films, although I do like a few. One of the things that I have loved about the Batman movies, especially the Nolan Batmans, is I love to see that where the character is really in peril, he's hurt, he's down, and he's got to kind of come back. And you can say, well, that's in a lot of comic book movies, but the Marvel films in Iron Man, it seemed like, hey, this could almost happen. Like it can't, but it almost can. And maybe even in Captain America, it had a lot of realism to it as well that kind of kept me in it. It didn't. A lot of the later Marvel films have just gotten so fantastical that it's just not, it's not for me. So it's every character, out of the movie. It does. It's there. Every character is seemingly indestructible.
They work out a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy the stuff that the characters get put through, and they just keep coming back for more and going through build. It's just a little too much for me. And then you guys talked about the characters. What I will praise Marvel for is that I think they do a good job of balancing so many characters in all of these movies. That is, I'll definitely tip my hat to them for that. But for me personally, it's just too much. It's just overkill. There's just too many characters to worry about what's going on. And I don't like that. I've enjoyed the one-off films a little bit better. And so that's another thing. And it was kind of funny. This isn't Marvel. This is a DC situation. But all I had heard about was how great Wonder Woman is and how it's, you know, this awesome movie and all that. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to get back in the saddle. I hadn't watched a comic movie in forever.
Yeah, let's get in, Wes.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
Wes, you're not going to bash Wonder Woman, are you?
Yeah.
Maybe a little. My point is, my wife and I are watching Wonder Woman. I had been showing her a whole bunch of movies. She's from Brazil, hasn't seen tons and tons of films, and she's been loving everything that I've been showing her. We've watched some classics, and it's just been awesome. So we're watching Wonder Woman. We're about halfway through. I'm pretty bored, honestly. And she just looks over at me, and she says, "Do you like stuff like this? Are you enjoying this?" And I said, "Well, no, not really. It's not because it's a bad film. It's just, I mean, she's just jumping around and just destroying everybody she touched. She's just like, she's invincible, pretty much, is what I said." And she said, "Yeah, it's just so far out there that I just can't relate to it." And she's like, "I'm going to go to bed." And I was like, "Okay, cool." And so I finished the movie and didn't love it, didn't hate it. But I just kind of noticed from then on, every time that somebody would convince me to watch a comic book movie, whether it was DC and or Marvel, that's how I left the film, is kind of feeling like that. I'm just like, man, I mean, you can throw aliens and bombs, and you can cut a whole damn city and raise it, you know, 40,000 feet into the sky.
It's like, give me the realism.
I'm just like, good gosh, like, what happened to the days of Iron Man in a cave, you know, trying to build this thing and blast out?
Those days are done, Wes.
They're over with, man.
TikTok generation.
TikTok go eat generation. Your Tide Pods. No, Wes doesn't like. I noticed that he doesn't talk about the old Supermans. He doesn't like fantastical things. Can't wait to get him into some Lord of the Rings here soon, T-Man. I'm feeling some coming. Lord of the Rings.
That's coming, guys. Well, no, Wes, I'm glad you're on here to talk about that, because I think you're not the only one. That's definitely there's definitely people that feel that same way, and I'm not. You know, I'm sympathetic to your reasons there, because I feel some of the same things. But I'm glad we can at least all like some of these Marvel films, even if it's not everybody's favorite films out there. Because I do know that a lot of people do love them. And I'm glad we can kind of talk about, you know, why Marvel is successful, how what Marvel has done has maybe not been the best for the movie industry. And I think we touched on a lot of that. And let's now talk about, you know, unless anybody has any other thoughts about
Wes, are you going to jump in on these top five? I mean, do you even have a top five Marvel favorite Marvel movies?
So I do have a top five.
Oh, okay. Since you weren't expected to be on the episode, did you?
All like, right.
I just carried that around at all times.
In your wallet?
I have a top five for literally anything you can come up with.
Fantastic.
So
there's five Marvel movies you've seen.
There are. I've actually seen quite a few. Here's another thing that I did recently, totally not related to doing a Marvel episode. I actually watched a bunch of Marvel movies here right in a row. Again, nothing to do with a potential Marvel episode. So I'm prepared.
Wes is prepared. Right. That's what I like to hear. All right, guys. Well, let's jump into it. Unless you guys have anything else you want to add, I say we go ahead and jump right into our top fives.
Earth is looking for other life. Starship Journeyer has been recalled, only to be captured by the Ubide alien race of incredible intellect and ally of the Dearths, a carnivorous yet intelligent reptilian race. Captain Cage was abducted. Crew members Eva Cusping and Enrico Dalchez were caught between two warring kingdoms. Captain Cage and Eva Cusping discover a secret about themselves. One will feel rage, the other enlightenment. Humans and other races go on a desperate journey while relentlessly hunted. Are we alone in the universe? Is there a god? What does the future hold? Do you really want to know?
You just heard the YouTube trailer for author Stephen Couch's epic sci-fi book series, Shadowed Stars. If you're a regular listener of Real Talk, you've heard a lot about Shadowed Stars. You know that book one, Shadowed Stars, and book two, The Reign of the Black Guard, are available now. But great news, because book three, Children of Home, is coming soon. And we'll be talking with Stephen about book three on an upcoming episode of our interview series. For those of you who are new to Shadowed Stars, head over to shadowedstarsbooks.com. You'll be able to get the latest information on the series, learn more about author Stephen Couch, read his short stories, and find direct links to purchase the books. Again, that's shadowedstarsbooks.com. And speaking of books, Stephen has 8 numbered books planned in the series, with more unnumbered ones to follow. And I love what Stephen is doing with the characters, as there are different characters between the odd and the even-numbered books, with some cameos mixed in. This keeps the story arcs fresh and the pages turning. Keep in mind, Shadowed Stars is for a mature audience with mature themes, which is different from most of the stories you get in the sci-fi and fantasy realm. So, are we alone in the universe? Is there a God? What does the future hold? There's only one way to find out. Go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes Store, wherever you get your books, and start your journey into the Shadowed Stars universe.
As Gabe said, I believe we're at 27 Marvel movies. Now, we're not talking about any movies made outside of Marvel Studios. So, once again, we're not going to include any X-Men movies. We're not going to include any Fantastic Four, Blade, any of those made before Marvel Studios was introduced with Iron Man in 2008. Let's go ahead and just start out. And, Wes, since you joined late, go ahead and just start out with us. What's your number five and why is it your number five?
All right, I'm going to be really easy on this top five list because I don't have a lot to say about each film because none of them, of course, are some of my favorites. My number five, there's a big drop off between my top four and my number five. So I really had a hard time with my number five because I was picking between four or five movies that I felt like they were all about equally good, you know, like that 6.5 to 7 range of what I would give them on a movie scale. At the time that I was making this, I went ahead and put The Avengers of Infinity War. It suffered a little bit from what I was telling you earlier with the indestructible characters and there just being far too many characters. But that ending really kind of solidified it for me. And I just watched Infinity War a couple days ago. And I've been watching the films with my son, who's 3. And some of it's probably a little bit too much for him, too violent. But he plays with his toys while they're on. And then will sit down and watch a little bit with me and then back to his toys and stuff. But I'm going to go.
Raising him right with Marvel.
That's right. That's right. So I'm going with Infinity War. Really like the ending. And I like how everybody just kind of turns to ash like that and then just starts to blow away. I mean, that was a really cool ending. I wasn't a huge fan of most of the rest of it, but it had some good battles. That's whenever things got dire a little bit for our heroes, which I like.
Yeah, it's a great pick, and I think we may have some others. So I'll just save my comments for later, I think, on this one.
No, I love that pick. It may come up again, so.
Cool. All right. I'll go next then. And my number five, so of course I had a lot of issue trying to figure out, all right, what is my top five? Because there are so many good ones. That's the thing about Marvel. There are a lot of, like, I would say, like, masterpieces. Like, this is one of the great films of all time. I just think there's just a lot of really good movies. And so it's kind of hard to narrow down, you know, just the top five. I think what I'm going to go with is the original Captain America. And I really like this movie for a lot of reasons. Of course, directed by Joe Johnson, who did The Rocketeer. And it really has that old school 1940s pulp style filmmaking that I really enjoyed. Of course, it takes place in World War II. And I think why I like the movie so much, and really Captain America is my favorite character in all of the Marvel Studios by far. He's just such a great person and a great, like, it's so, I haven't seen a character like that in a movie in a long time. Most characters these days, if you've noticed, in any movie, they're kind of in the gray zone. They're kind of cynical, or they're just kind of like an asshole in a lot of ways. Where Captain America is just like a tried and true good person. Chris Evans, just his performance as Captain America, I just love it so much. He's so great in that role. And I just love the arc of this skinny little guy who has a great heart. And that scene where he jumps on the grenade,
yeah,
and everybody else runs away is just amazing. I love that scene so much. And then he becomes, you know, a superhero with super strength, but he's still that skinny guy, still that really good person, the underdog in a lot of ways, that's going to fight the bully. And I just love that character arc he has. And then I love the very end where he says, you know, that last line where he was, you know, waiting on a date. So I love that ending too.
Not going to make my top five, but I absolutely love that. I do like that movie, but I didn't like it as much as most people did when it came out. But I do agree with you about the performance.
Yeah, I like this one. This is one of the ones that I was cycling for my number five. I thought it was pretty good. Had it actually written down at one point to put in here. So it's honestly a toss-up. Here. So I do like this one.
Good deal, guys. So, all right, Gabe, then what do you got as number five?
Let's get strange, guys, with some Doctor Strange. You know, I love Doctor Strange for a number of reasons. Number one, Benedict Cumberbatch. Sherlock, if you haven't watched the series, I mean, he made me fall in love with him as a actor. So I just loved him in Doctor Strange. How can Marvel do better? Just make, you know, you gotta have that one item, right, T-Man? Let's make that one item also funny. Like, make his cape also. Let's give him some comedic elements. Item. And so there's multiple things I like about it. I feel like Inception came out like a little bit before this, but they were like, hey, let's steal Inception. Let's have these buildings upside down. But no, it's funny. His humor in it is great. The story's fantastic. It's really fantastical. So Wes probably hates it.
Yeah. Not a Wes movie.
But I do love. But I love the ending more than any ending in any of the movies. So it's my number five, because the whole thing is this: God's trying to is approaching him, and Doctor Strange traps him in a time loop, and he can't get out. And so, like, he's like, well, we can just keep, you know, he's going to suffer. But then the gods finally like, oh, you're just going to do this over and over again. So he has to give up. It's like one of the best endings I've ever seen in a movie. Like, I remember just walking away from the theater clapping. So that's my number five, my boys.
It's a great ending. Yeah. And it's a really fun movie. This is another one. And this is where Marvel's so successful, is like, there's so many that are just good. Like, this is just another really fun blockbuster. This was one of those movies that a lot of people didn't know if Marvel could pull off, because Doctor Strange really gets weird, as you said, Gabe, kind of really gets into the multiverse. And I think they really pulled it off. I think it really helped that they cast Benedict Cumberbatch, who is.
Yeah, and there's another one coming out this year or next year.
Well, it comes out in May, and I don't know if you've seen the trailer, But I'm hearing some big things about this movie. I'm hearing some rumblings. I've got my ear to the ground. I don't know if you guys have heard anything about this movie, but there are some crazy rumors out there about this movie.
I haven't heard any. Don't tell me, because I didn't know anything about the Spider-Man stuff. So,
well, yeah, I won't tell you anything. And none of this is confirmed, but I do know it looks really good. It is called Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So they're really going to delve into the multiverse, of course. There's just some crazy rumors of who might be appearing in this movie. If you're interested in knowing who it might be, just Google it. But none of this is confirmed. Nobody really knows. It could be all false, or some of it could be true, which is pretty cool.
Or send us one of those emails, and we'll get T-Man to email you back.
Yeah, send us an email.
Send us an email.
But I love the pick, Gabe. I really like Doctor Strange. And I think bringing Benedict Cumberbatch was a masterstroke of that role. Because he's so good, and that's one of the secrets to Marvel, as we talked about. They cast really good actors in these roles, which, let's be honest, a lot of these roles are ridiculous. He's a wizard flying around with his cape, but he can pull it off because he's such a great actor.
We don't like this character. Not interested in this character. So sorry, Gabe. Sorry, Gabe.
It's okay.
Just don't like care nothing about this
one. I knew you would hate it.
Yeah, I don't. Not a Doctor Strange kind of guy.
How did he get on this episode?
Wes, I don't know. This is why we try to leave him off, Gabe. All right, guys. Okay, so Wes, you're at number four then, man. What do you got?
Okay, so these top four movies, actually, I really enjoyed these. So we're into ones that I'm really a big fan of. And my number four is The Avengers. So I think The Avengers it had just enough characters in it. And I really like, these are kind of, this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe's main guys right here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, with Black Widow and Thor, and nobody cares about Hawkeye, but yeah, Captain America.
That's why Jeremy Renner had to become start singing songs, because he wasn't getting paid enough. He cared about his character.
But Hulk and Captain America and Iron Man. So, yeah, I like this one. One of the things I'm not as big of a fan, again, about Marvel is I don't really like a lot of the villains. I don't think they're really great villains. Like, a lot of the Batman villains and Superman villains are really – and the X-Men villain, you know, they're good villains. I don't like the Marvel ones as much. Thanos is great. The whole thing with, like, well, you got Loki. He's the brother or cousin or whoever the hell it is of Thor. And – I didn't really like the villain too much in it, but I just love all how they all kind of pull together and they become that team. And Hulk is probably cooler than he's ever been in any type of on-screen iteration. Like, he's so awesome in this movie. That scene where is it Black Widow that's running from him, and he's like on the ship and he's like running down that corridor. And it goes to slow motion. What a badass shot that is. I mean, that is sweet. So, yeah, I like The Avengers. It's a good movie. And, yeah, that's my number four.
Gabe, Wes, you make a really good point. First, great pick. And we talked about it. Avengers really kind of changed Hollywood in a lot of ways. All these studios tried to then get their own, you know, shared universe. But I think you make a great point about the villain. And that's one thing we didn't talk about earlier, as we should have. Was that for a long time, Marvel was really criticized for not having, you know, great villains. I think Loki is probably their best villain.
Loki's a good villain, the god of mischief. I wasn't catching his argument there.
But other than Loki, though, that they have been criticized for having good villains because they don't have tons of them. I think they've improved with Thanos being introduced. But, you know, Loki is kind of like, he's not even a true villain. He's kind of like, they kind of turned him into a good guy. So, even their best villain kind of turns into a good guy. So
I'm starting to see Wes's argument. Like, I really like the villain in Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, the guy that, you know, flicks the little thing and it just instantly kills you, because that's frightening for me. But then he becomes a good guy too. So it's like, maybe they don't have good villains.
Most of their villains are like, you know, the side alien characters, or I don't even know what the hell those things were in the last Avengers. Liam asked me, he was like, Dada, what are those? And I was like, they're just monsters, Liam.
What's his brain? Confused. He's like, I don't know.
I have no clue what the heck these are. So, well, anyway.
That's hilarious. Well, here's the thing. You know, we're coming. I'm sure there are listeners out there that know there's all this stuff about these movies, which is pretty cool, is based on stuff in the comics. So I'm sure everything we talk about, people can be like, well, it's actually this. We're coming from it from like a movie perspective where we don't know every little thing. But I think you're right. You're right, guys, of like not a lot of really truly great villains. But I think Thanos really kind of. Can be considered one of those. So I think
he's a great villain. I like for that, at least for their big, you know, crescendo of all these movies for this first four phases or whatever. They at least got a really good villain to kind of to end it on. So I'll give them that for sure. But again, most of the other villains are not the best. And whenever they do have a good villain, which, like I said, Iron Man 2, Whiplash, I thought that is such a cool villain, like his look and his weapons and everything, and then, you know, they just kind of drop the ball with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's definitely an awful movie. I agree on that. All right, really good pick, Wes. I love the Avengers pick. I'm glad we got that in there. And so for my number four, I'm going to go with Thor Ragnarok. So this was the most recent Thor. In this movie, I think is so interesting because this is what Marvel did, which was so cool, I thought, was, you know, you had these intro movies. Some were better than others. The Thor movies were not the most successful. Not everybody loved those, and it kind of reached its nadir with Thor Dark World. Wasn't super popular. And so what they did was they brought in Taiki Waititi, who I think I said that name right, who is, you know, a great New Zealand comedy director, did What We Do in the Shadows, and they let him loose and said, hey, make what you want to make. And with Thor Ragnarok, he made just an over-the-top comedy in a lot of ways that nobody really expected. People were like, whoa, what is this movie? And it's so weird, so kooky. It has so like dry humor in it. Some people hate the movie and hate the humor. I love it personally. I think it's so funny and so colorful and so interesting that, you know, they Marvel let him do this, because Marvel has not always had the best relationship with directors. Of course, there was that famous, you know, story, or not story, but for the longest time, Edgar Wright was going to make Ant-Man, and they just parted ways because they could not see eye to eye on what the vision would be. Because at the end of the day, you're making a Marvel film. You know, even if you're a great director like Edgar Wright, you're making a movie that Marvel wants you to make. And so it's pretty cool that they let him make this movie. They let Thor kind of become more comedic. They let Chris Hemsworth really cook in that way. And they did a great smart thing, which was, you know, making him partner with the Hulk. And I think you're right, Wes, of this is the best iteration of the Hulk we've ever gotten. He's not great with individual Hulk movies. He's better as a side character. And so I love that they did that with him. And I can't wait for the next Thor that Taiki's doing, which is going to be Thor. I think it's called Love and Thunder, I believe. So I'm pretty excited for that one also. So, guys, any thoughts on Thor Ragnarok?
I've not seen this one in... I purposefully have avoided it because I wasn't a really big fan of the Thor character. I knew that they kind of didn't know exactly what to do with him in the one-off movie. So they did, like you said, got experimental. And then a lot of people found out, I was like, hey, Chris Hemsworth, he can be really funny. They like him. But again, for somebody that has skipped around and not watched all of the movies, I've seen most of them. I've not seen all of them. When he shows up in Endgame, and he's just this fat, you know, drunk, this belching Thor, I'm just kind of like, how the hell? Because I hadn't seen Thor, right? How did we get here? And I just didn't get it. You know
Wes
what I mean?
Like, yeah, and he shows up with like that eye patch, doesn't he? Wes is like, yeah. What happened to Thor, man? He really went through something.
Yeah, and I just kind of like, this dude is like a god. You know, just sitting around like drinking beer and has a beer gut and stuff. It didn't work for me in the order that I watched the movies. So, again, a lot of people love Thor Ragnarok. I've heard nothing but great things about it. So I will probably eventually watch it, but was not a fan of comedic Thor. I was like, why don't we leave this to the Guardians?
Well, that's the thing, Les. This Thor Ragnarok starts it. Like, this is the start of comedic Thor. That's a good way to put it.
Man, I'm so glad I let Wes go. Like, sometimes, like, I'm wondering, like, you guys don't like going after me, but I'm so pumped that you went, Wes, because I'm just going to go ahead and say my number four is Thor Ragnarok. And I'm just going to go ahead and follow it up with, for the reasons you said, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to take a syringe, shove it right into my butt cheek, and pump some Thor Ragnarok right into my veins, because
this movie
is everything that I love. It started off in the preview, so I'm going to agree with everything T-Man said, and then I'm going to add a couple things. Thing number one, in the preview, the battle in the arena between Thor and the Hulk, you're like, heck yeah, I've always wanted to see this, yes. And it is flipping awesome. But the movie starts off with Thor hanging from a rope, like swinging around, looking at this like gigantic fire god, and he's like, the fire god's like declaring like all this like super serious stuff, and he's like, wait, can't hear you. Wait for me to get around. And like, it just starts off like hilarious, but it has the scene that I've laughed the hardest at in any of these films. And it's when the Hulk jumps out of the plane and Thor convinces him that it'll change on the way down, 'cause it'll get his adrenaline going, but it doesn't. And he just thuds off the ground.
Yes, it's so good.
Just thinking about it makes me laugh, because he's like, man, you'll get your power, no big deal. And he just, bam, it's awesome. But I mean, this movie is incredible. And Wes, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, because I think you will like it, but it is super buddy fantastical. So you've got to know that that's what you're getting into. But I love it.
You're getting into the buddyverse. You know, there's the multiverse. Thor Ragnarok is the buddyverse for sure.
For sure.
Well, my main takeaway from that was Gabe has a veiny ass. So
yeah, I probably should get that checked out.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering, like, what when you go and give blood or have your blood drawn, what that looks like. You know, they're getting ready to wrap the vise around your arm or whatever. You're like, no, just left cheek. But you know, can get a lot of blood out. The veins in my leg.
You know, I knew T-Man earlier had said he would inject it straight into his arm, like in his vein, when he was talking about Tomorrow Wars. And I was like, how can I be a little bit different? And then I was like, oh, when you're a kid, you get a shot in your butt. And then I went down a rabbit hole. I don't know. I can't come back out of it.
Yeah, well, typically shots in, not blood drawn out. But I mean, you very well could have a good blood supply to your ass.
So let's move on from that and get right into Wes's number three.
Well, that's a great transition into Captain America, the Winter Soldier, which is my number three. For a while, I thought this is probably the best Marvel movie that they've ever done. And after my most recent watch through of a lot of the films of the last month or so, I still have it at my number three. Probably need to watch it again. It is one of the few Marvel movies that I own on physical media. I did like how it was kind of like an espionage type thriller from the 70s. I mean, maybe like All the President's Men kind of thing or whatever. Like, it's I thought it was cool in that regard. It felt very grown up, maybe, but at the same time, you know, had some good action in it. Again, you know, what is it? Is it Bucky? I think that he's the Winter Soldier, Bucky. And the guy he's fighting. And then another reason I got lost is they're all like their best friends when, at the end of, you know.
I can just imagine Wes watching these movies, and by the end, he's always like, "What the hell is happening?
Like, what happened? Like, how do we get here?" And no, I'm not going to go back and watch all these movies to figure it out. But anyway, I just kind of hate that it's like everybody that they beat, they're like
they're friends again.
All right, hey, just come join our side. We'll go fight like some other bad guy. We'll turn good.
Well, it's like the Fast franchise. It's like, I don't even watch those, but I'm like, I see the new trailers, and it's like, wait a minute, the bad guy is now on their team from the previous one? How is this always happening?
I can tell you, T-Man, I sacrificed for the Real Talk community and went and watched that last Fast and Furious in space.
Yeah, it's T-Man's turn for the next one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I haven't seen like the last five. Those are so bad. That's the one. Yeah, I can't do those. I'll say that. Wes, it's a great pick. I love that pick. Anything else you want to say? I do have a couple of comments to say on that.
No, go for it.
Yeah, I love what you said about the different genres, because I did want to touch on that in this episode somewhat, is that I think what Marvel, one reason they've been so successful is that they've taken these comic book movies, turned them into like genre exercises. And so to your point around Captain America, I think this one was maybe the first time they did it, was they take a movie and kind of say, well, this is our 1970s paranoid thriller. Then you're kind of getting two different types of movies. You know, you're getting that type of movie with that, but you're also getting, you know, your comic book movie. So it's just a really cool thing they've done that I think captures different types of audiences. Yeah, you're exactly right. That's their thing now. That's what they do with all their movies. For my number three, then, I'm going to go with Guardians of the Galaxy. I really love Guardians of the Galaxy. Of course, this is a James Gunn film starring Chris Pratt. You know, you got Bradley Cooper as a alien type raccoon. You've got Vin Diesel as Groot, a big tree. So it's got a great cast. And the thing about Guardians is, and I've learned this from watching other James Gunn movies, and we even talked about this, I think, when we were reviewing Suicide Squad recently, is that James Gunn is really only good when he has like some parameters built in around him.
Maybe, you know, like the Marvel formula, T-Man?
Exactly, Gabe, exactly. He needs Kevin Feige, who once again is arguably one of the best producers in Hollywood, or not arguably, he probably is one of the best producers in Hollywood. He knows what his audiences want, and he knows what filmmakers, you know, how to keep them in a certain lane with his movies. He brought in James Gunn, which was a great pick to do this, ingested all the James Gunn type humor and a lot of great music, but kept him within the parameters of the Marvel universe and the Marvel structure. And I think it made his best two movies are these two movies, the two Guardians of the Galaxy movies. And I just love these movies. They are funny. They have great characters, you know, fun action, really good direction. Like, these are really well-made movies. They have, you know, like we talked about, the great 1970s soundtrack. This is the type of movie, or Guardians is one of those movies where if I just want a good time, and maybe I'm like, oh, I just want to have some fun, I'll just turn on Guardians, because I know it will make me laugh, smile, and just have a great time with the movie. So what are you guys' thoughts on Guardians of the Galaxy?
I'm going to be talking about it later, so I'll give my quick. I do like that the headphones that Chris Pratt puts on those headphones and gets in the, and so it has the soundtrack along with the humor. And that's what I think I dig so much about Guardians of the Galaxy.
I like Guardians pretty well. I thought it was pretty funny. Overall, just not really for me. Don't really. The characters are good together whenever they are. Too much. It's just too much fun. I can't. I have a fun threshold that was way over.
Your son Liam is looking up as like, yeah, Guardians is too much fun, Liam.
Yeah, can't do it. Let's go and let's watch a Serbian film or something.
Yes. Hey, those Serbian films, they know how to make them. They know how to have some fun. Are we going to eat one meal today?
Liam. Let's come watch a Serbian film while those other kids chew their Tide Pods and watch TikTok videos.
It wasn't nominated for Best Foreign Film in 1968. It was a travesty. I'll never forget that. I'll never forgive the Academy for that. Anyway, what were you going to say?
No, it was just kind of like, okay. So what if we put the Avengers in space and then ratchet up the humor? It just seemed unnecessary.
Marvel,
it was just
knows,
one of those mindless watches for me. That's all.
Marvel knows their formula. Yeah. And I think that's the thing. Marvel knows what they're doing. Yeah. They're not making Best Picture nominees, but honestly, if you've seen the Best Picture nominees, these are better, honestly, a lot of times. So maybe they should be nominated, but they just know their formula. They know what they're doing, and at the end of the day, they're like, we're just making fun popcorn films.
You're still taser facing my phone, T-Man, from this movie. Like,
that's from Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
That's technically it? Yeah, from 2,
which is also a really good one. I don't know if any of us will have do any of us have Guardians of the Galaxy 2
we don't.
On there? Okay, so good time to talk about it. You know, I love Guardians of the Galaxy 2. You know, that's one of those that James Gunn, once again, brought him back, set him within the templates of the Marvel structure, and just another great sequel. So I love that one also.
Look, T-Man squeezing in a top six now.
Yeah,
Yeah, I see that.
I might have some more. I might do some other things here in a minute. So, Gabe,
now, did any of them in part two, did any of them like put out any James Gunn old tweets or anything? Did they go over any of that?
They didn't go over any of that.
They did not. That was in the footnotes.
That was in the footnotes. That was in the deleted scenes. For those that don't know, James Gunn was fired from Guardians of the Galaxy 3 after he made some inappropriate tweets from years ago. But I guess he apologized enough, and they are bringing him back for Guardians of the Galaxy 3 after all. Because honestly, it's good, because it seems like everything else he does outside of Marvel just isn't very good, honestly.
No.
Well, I think it would be funny if they somehow get some kind of reference into the movie.
They really should. That's a great point. I would love that. I would die laughing.
That would be pretty good. Because I think most people, like, even I'm not in much of a Guardians fan. You know, I started the second one and then just kind of turned it off. I just wasn't really interested and not really interested in a third one. But I did at least know about the James Gunn controversy. So I think that would be kind of funny if they kind of get self-referential and throw some of that in there.
You know, recently he did that movie, what was the Suicide Squad? And now he's been directing like episodes of Peacemaker. And I watched the first episode of Peacemaker where he's fully off his leash. And there's an eagle hugging him, man. Peacemaker has a pet eagle named Eagly. And it's just James Gunn fully unleashed is just the craziest crap
it's just too ever much. Yeah. Seen.
Like, there is an alien that fights him that's a chick that he hooks up with early. It is the nuttiest thing I've ever seen. I'm like, put James back on his leash a little bit. But anyway.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Gabe. James needs to be under the Marvel umbrella. Absolutely. That's where he's at his best. But Gabe, yeah, you're odd, man. What do you got for number three?
My number three, I'm not going to say hardly anything about, just because, I mean, what is there to say? It's the first one. It's Iron Man. I thought a lot about this list. Like, I debated between like putting Black Panther on my list because I really loved it because it was up for Best Picture. But if I'm honest with myself, I do love that movie. But my number three is the original Iron Man, because how can you beat the end game? You know, the presser at the end where he's not supposed to say, he says, "I'm Iron Man," and walks off. That's the ultimate number three.
Plus, you know, honestly,
the movie itself is fantastic, and it sets up the universe.
Yeah, sets up the template. John Favreau, who comes in and just knocks it out of the park. And how, I mean, we got to talk a little bit, at least for a second, unless we want to save it, about Robert Downey Jr. I mean, I don't know if Marvel is Marvel without Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
I would argue that and John Favreau. I think John Favreau was a big help too. And I mean, look what he's doing with the Star Wars shows and stuff now. I think he's a smart cookie for that guy that came off Friends. But no, he was from
Swingers.
He was from Swingers. But Gabe, you were close.
No, he was on Friends one episode, wasn't he? Wasn't he the rich guy?
He was the UFC fighter. Yeah, that always lost.
I was right. And yeah, Monica's boyfriend.
No, I'm just saying, I think he got famous and the reason he was on that from Swingers, but
yeah,
I digress.
Wes digresses a lot when talking to me. But yes. But yes, the original, like, they wouldn't have made it without Robert Downey Jr. Because I mean really that last sequence sealed it. It's like Robert Downey Jr. I believe Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man because I think he is.
It's a great pick, Gabe. I love it. We had to have Iron Man in here. I don't know if we'll have it again. We may, but I'll just say that it's one of the best Marvel films that they've done. Still holds up to this day. And like I said, I don't think Marvel is Marvel without Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
And that's why I picked it.
Yeah. Wes, any other comments on Iron Man? You want to save anything till later?
You know, Iron Man may fly in here in a second.
All right, good good deal. Well, hey, man, you're up. What do you got for number two?
It's actually the most recent Marvel film. Well, wait a second. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't know.
No, it is.
No Way Home.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, yeah.
Yep, it is.
Spider-Man No Way Home. So I told you guys that after I saw it, that was the first Marvel film that I feel like I've ever loved, which, after going back through the catalog and reviewing some that I'd seen before, I now have two that I love. So these would be like in the 9, 9.5 range for films. And man, Spider-Man No Way Home, what a fun freaking movie that was. Like, it gave me everything that I hoped that it would be, especially after I kind of had a inkling of what could potentially come with Spider-Man and some nostalgia there. It just gave me everything I wanted. You know, we talked about it on our, you know, best of 2021. So if you want to hear more of my thoughts about Spider-Man No Way Home, head over there. But yeah, just a great movie. Spider-Man and Batman are my two superheroes. I love what Sam Raimi did up until part 3. So it took me a little while to warm. I never warmed to Andrew Garfield, not because I don't like Andrew Garfield. I didn't like those Spider-Man movies. And so I kind of had enough of Spider-Man at that point just to see what they were able to do.
Wes, don't blame Andrew Garfield. Blame that.
Oh, it's not his. It's not his.
Blame the emo dance, because the emo dance gave Andrew Garfield, you know, his shot. So
yeah, yeah.
Toby.
He just kind of went downhill there for a while after that. And I've now, you know, I've seen him in the other parts of the Marvel universe. He, you know, kind of will fly in and throw a little web here and there. He's all right as a character. And in the first couple of Spider-Man movies with Tom Holland and him, they were okay, not bad. But man, I really love this new one. And I thought I might even put it as my number one, but I'm going to slide it in at the number two spot.
I love that pick. Yeah. Honestly, that might, after you talking about it, makes me want to like throw out some on my list. But I guess we could do that with any of these Marvel movies, but except for Wes probably couldn't do that. But I actually feel like I lied to the audience not having that on my list, because I do love that so much.
Yeah, I just needed to do a top four, really. But no, that's all right.
That's fair. And honestly, Wes, I agree with you, man. It's a great film. It's a great blockbuster. It's one of those movies I want to watch again to see how high it's going to be on my list. It was definitely close to my top five. I couldn't decide if it was going to be in there or not. I decided to put it in movies I've seen more often, because sometimes, you know, you watch a movie the first time, you need to let it settle and watch it again to truly get the impact of it. But it's a massive hit, and I think a lot of people agree with you about their love for that film, for sure.
I fully agree.
So, all right. Well, great pick on number two, Wes, with Spider-Man. And for my number two, I'm going to go with, well, we've already talked about it, it's Captain America Winter Soldier. So I actually have two Captain America films on here. I didn't plan that. Maybe should have rethought how I did that. But I do love that character. He's probably my favorite character in this universe. And I really love this film. Wes, I think you said it perfectly where you said this one is like a little more adult. It's kind of, I do consider it like when Marvel gets more adult with this movie. Is it's kind of like that spy thriller set piece adventure. I love him and Bucky as characters, the Winter Soldier, of course. I love the Falcon, played by Anthony Mackie, as his other friend. So it's got great characters. It's got the Black Widow in there. It does this thing also where they bring in great actors. So you just got Robert Redford in here for some reason as the bad guy. Marvel does this over and over again. You know, you bring in Michael Douglas in Ant-Man. You bring in Jeff Bridges in Iron Man. So they have a track record of doing this. You know, another character that we haven't really even talked about is Sam Jackson as Nick Fury. And I think this is one of his, if not his best movie role in Captain America Winter Soldier, where you think he's dead and he comes back towards the end. So I love all the interplay, all the intrigue. I love those type of 70s thrillers. So I think this one really just matches everything I like in a movie and what I'm going for. So I'm hoping, you know, one of these, you know, I'm really kind of honestly kind of distraught that Captain America is no more in this universe. Hopefully, you know, I know they're going to bring him back as Anthony Mackie, so I'm still excited for it, but I really do love those Chris Evans movies. So I guess I'll just have to keep rewatching those. So any other thoughts on Captain America? Wes, I know you gave yours. Gabe, any other thoughts on this one?
That may be on my list coming up, so okay. I will reserve those.
Reserve your thoughts. I will say that Captain America had about a perfect ending for a character in, you know, in this universe. I love how they wrap up his character in game. Like that was cool. Fitting into his character.
Yeah, I think you're exactly. I love that ending. And remember I said in the first one, I love that ending where he says, yeah, I've got a date. And
yep.
He then ultimately gets that date, which is pretty cool. I agree.
It's the Goodwill Hunting. I had to go see about a girl.
They took him from it, right? They probably did, actually. That's the thing about Marvel. They know how to set up their stories in their movies where you get a payoff, you know, 10 years later.
I swear I thought you were about to say, that's one thing about Marvel. They know how to steal a good idea.
Honestly, that too. Hey, nothing wrong with a good stealing an idea every now and again. But they really do know how to set up their story arcs. You know, that's one reason why Marvel's so successful is they set up these long story arcs and they pay off years down the road. All right then, Gabe, what do you got as your number two?
My number two is Guardians of the Galaxy. I freaking love this movie. I own Groot headphones. I remember when we all went and saw it in the IMAX. I think it was me, you, Oates. We all went and saw this in the IMAX, and it was like a big event. And I just remember walking out of there just like, this is awesome, because it's everything I love. I love hard-hitting music in a movie, and, you know, he's got great tunes. Like, he's got a soundtrack that his mom, you know, that he was listening as his mother was dying. And they're just awesome jams, but it's also got turmoil, and it's got hilarious characters like Groot. I always forget Drax. I think Drax is probably the best humor.
Drax is awesome.
I always forget to mention him as a funny character, but he's hilarious. And the raccoon is always hilarious. And Drax versus the raccoon and Groot, it's just, I laugh.
It's got Bradley Cooper as an animated talking raccoon. That's pretty awesome.
Bradley Cooper is hilarious as a talking raccoon. I am Groot. I do like the, you know, I get them mixed up, honestly. I like when Groot's supposed to find something and he brings back like a person's like eyeball. Like, I mean, there's just funny stuff in both of these films, and like they overlap because I watch them so much so frequently. But what I will say about the best part about Guardians of the Galaxy to me is the ending, when he's like, the big fight's about to happen and he goes, dance battle, and he goes into his dance battle. He goes, what are you doing? I'm distracted, you more, you know, because I mean, that's what he would do, and it's just awesome. I like Guardians of the Galaxy quite a bit, and I think it changed these movies. I think that's when they started becoming funny and realizing being funny was okay.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think they did. I think this is the movie where they took it, ran with it a little bit, let James Gunn do his thing, and they're like, whoa, people really like this.
And they added it to all the other movies.
And every film now adds more kooky characters, more humor. I don't like it in my animated movies, but I love it in my Marvel movies.
So I think we can all agree, you know, we keep talking about the formula. People just keep coming back to the theater. They just keep giving, you know, the money, the hard-earned money to Marvel. They're just doing whatever. They're getting kookier and kookier. I want them to just come out with a movie just called F You by Marvel, and then just throw it out there and see if people will come and watch it, having no idea what it's about. So they have like the Midas touch for the most part. And I want them to give me something even crazier.
There we go.
Wes, I think they did that, and it was called The Eternals.
That was their FU.
Nobody went and saw that.
I've tried to watch it 4 times.
Even people are like, all right, Marvel, you've gone too far. I can't do it.
I don't even there know what the heck it is. Like, what it's even does. About.
I don't either. I've literally seen that trailer like 20 times, and I've read the plot line, and I still have no idea.
Like, I've watched some ridiculous movies. I watched Fast 10. I've watched some ridiculous movies, guys. I won't get into it, but I can't do it. Like, I just can't. I get bored.
One of these days, one of us is going to have to watch it. And
I know. I'll finish it, Real Talk Community. For you, I will finish it, and I will tell you what I think.
All right. There we go. I like it. All right, guys. Well, let's do it then. Let's get to our number ones. So, Wes, go ahead. Kick us off. What do you got as your number one Marvel film?
My number one Marvel film is Iron Man.
Nice. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I really, really like this movie. And like I said, it feels the most real of any of the movies. Obviously, it's still fantastical, but I just love how you have this rich, like really cocky character who's done all the weapon stuff. And, you know, it's just like he's almost a little bit bored with his life. And he gets captured, and he's supposed to make this weapon for, I guess, I mean, is it supposed to be the Taliban or just whoever?
I think so, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think that's what they're really going for. And he's supposed to, you know, yeah, Al-Qaeda. He's supposed to be making, you know, this weapon. I just love how he teams up with, you know, with the other prisoner in there. I think he's like a doctor or physicist or whatever the heck it is. And they make this Iron Man, and he kind of, you know, blasts out and fight some, and there's a scene I think maybe later in the movie where he fires the missile and then turns and is like walking away as it blows up. It's just such a cool scene. Y'all know which one I'm talking
Absolutely.
About. It's like that famous.
Yes.
It is so awesome. And really that cool. When I watch the movie again, that moment right there kind of got me like, yes, this is cinema. This is what I like. I love it. And then to Gabe's point, they end the movie. I am Iron Man, and I'm about ready to be like some of those TikTok morons and jump off my house. You know, see
this is like
happen.
I'm Iron Man.
Let's go. So no, I like the movie a lot. It was really good, and I saw it in theaters. Left the theaters excited, and I couldn't wait for Iron Man 2. And anyway. Iron Man 2 really kind of started me souring.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is this? It is really bad, I agree.
It is terrible.
It's like, what is happening? But no, it's a great pick, Wes. I love it. It's a great movie, like we already talked about. And once again, Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man is just one of the most genius casting moves Hollywood has done in a long time. Because really, Robert Downey Jr.'s career was in the toilet. He had had some good movies. You know, of course, he had a lot of drug problems over a lot of years.
A lot of needles in the toilet.
Yeah. A lot of needles in the toilet. A lot of, issues with the law. You know, a lot of different things going on. A lot of people thought his career was over. And he always started out with so much talent. And this movie really resurrected him and turned him into one of the true A-listers in Hollywood. So it's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, it was. You can't even imagine anybody else being Tony Stark and stuff. No. So I don't like where the technology goes. I don't like how you just press this button, invincible suit just starts appearing all over
like
your body.
You don't like the invincible suit?
Oh, here
it gets. Yeah. See, and
Wes,
you like
it's
all that.
A little too fantastical for Wes. Once it gets a little bit.
One more question.
Wes likes the Iron Man in the cave.
Yeah,
he's like,
give me that
bring
guy.
Bring back that guy.
Yeah, that old Iron Man.
Somebody help me out here.
Yeah, go ahead, Wes.
All right. I saw Endgame. I finished it last night. All right.
Yes.
First time I'd ever watched it. When in the hell did Pepper get in an Iron Man suit? What was that?
Pepper's got an Iron Man suit. Come
that
on, man.
So
where are you
dumb.
Been? No.
I think that was in Iron Man. Was that in Iron Man 3?
Yes.
He got it?
It's Iron Man 3.
It's Iron Man 3. Yeah, Pepper gets in an Iron Man suit.
Get
like
in
a,
on this, Wes. Pepper's
everybody
got an
gets
Iron Man
a suit, Wes.
Pepper. I was like, because, you know, they show that where it's like, you know, the women warriors show up and, you know, you got, they're showing up, they're ready to go. And I'm all about it. And I'm like, wait, Pepper, Pepper's like the most
Pepper's
feminine
got,
character.
It is pretty ridiculous that you think about it. It's like Pepper's an Iron Man too.
Yeah, I did
what?
Not like that. They lost me there.
That's and amazing.
I got another thing that might be a little controversial, and it's Terrence Howard's freaking fault. I love Don Cheadle. I think Don Cheadle is a great actor. Love him in Hotel Rwanda. He's freaking side-splitting in Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
I just think he's miscast. I do not like him as Terrence Howard's character.
Interesting.
I did not like him throughout the rest of the – it just doesn't fit him for how that I've seen, like, Don Cheadle. And, again, I'm a fan of Don Cheadle's, but – I just didn't like him in this.
So you prefer the Terrence Howard.
I thought Terrence Howard was perfect.
Yeah. I thought he was good in it too.
They couldn't come to terms over a little bit of money, which is laughable now that, you know, how much money these movies rake in. But I would have loved to have seen Terrence Howard continue and John Favreau not get drunk on the set while he was making Iron Man. I don't know if that's true, but the finished product certainly looked like it. That's what he was doing. Yeah, so that's where I think Iron Man kind of started going wrong. We went from badass cave fighting, whooping the Taliban to Pepper as Iron Man.
So. I love it. I love Pepper as Iron Man. I can't wait till the next Iron Man. Pepper as Iron Man. Wes is going to be front row opening night. Can't
wait. She'll be flying around, have a goop candle.
Oh God, let's can't even get into that. All right, guys, I'm going next. Number two, or my number one film. So I'm going to try to cheat here. Let me see if you guys let me get away with it. So I couldn't decide what my number one is, but I was like, you know what? I feel like Avengers Infinity War and Endgame are basically like one movie. So I'm just going to combine them. So I'm going to say my number one is Infinity War and Endgame.
Cheater.
What? Is that not allowed? I couldn't decide between which one I like more. And I wanted more movies in there because Marvel has so many. I was like, let's get them both in there. I feel like it's fair.
So now you got a top seven.
I basically have a top seven. What do you guys think of that? You cool with that?
I thought he liked it when I mentioned Black Panther almost making my list. He was like, Gabe's kind of mentioning another one.
Yeah, I like more. I like more. Marvel's got so many good ones. Let's just leave them in there. All right.
Even you can't. Right.
I'm glad we all agree on this.
That's like me saying Ace Ventura 1 and 2 is my favorite comedy for 1997.
I'm always going to try to do something sneaky on these lists. All right.
I've turned into me.
So I've got Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. And let me just explain why. So I think what Marvel did to lead up to all those movies is like, and then just the eventizing of these two films. Like, I don't know if I hadn't been that excited for a movie with Infinity War in a long time. And I couldn't wait anymore. I just had to go see it that opening weekend. So I went at like, I remember I went down here in Nashville. I went to one of the IMAXs at like 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. I was like, I just can't wait anymore. I got to go see, because I didn't want to get it ruined. I knew some big things would happen. And I was so like just excited watching it the entire time. When Thanos comes in and he beats the living crap out of Thor and the Hulk, I was like, oh, this is for real now. I love the ending, even though it does get a little too CGI, like Wes said. I don't know what those things are at the end. Let's just call them monsters, as we said. And then, they all, disappear. Half of them disappear. And I was whoa. Yeah, it was awful. But then what was amazing to me is that Endgame is just as good. Like, Endgame is totally different, too. It brought back the original crew from the Avengers, all the ones, the old school, the OGs, and you bring in some time travel, and then you just have an awesome epic battle with some of the best theater moments that I can remember. When Captain America picks up Thor's hammer, people were just cheering and clapping and sobbing. I've seen these YouTube videos of people just like, the reactions of that is just amazing. When Captain America is like, Avengers, assemble. Like, how are you not on your feet? I was on my feet, just like Wes was when he saw Pepper's Iron Man. I mean, clapping, clapping
in so, unison.
In just unison. Like, it was amazing. I just love those two movies, back to back. What's amazing, they're like 3 hours long, and they're just so much fun. That is how you do event-style filmmaking. And Marvel knocked it out of the park. I mean, with all the pressure they had on them to pull that off is pretty amazing. So I don't know what you guys think of Infinity Wars and Endgame and me putting two movies as number one, but what do you think?
I'll move away from the, I'll let you have it. I'm the type that'll let something like this slide. Now, Wes, you're going to have to slide that past. I love these two films, but I don't love the Infinity Wars, like, first 2 hours as much as, and this is my only hot take on it. Like, I don't love the first 2 hours of Infinity War, but I love the last hour of Infinity War, and the ending, I think, is incredible. I remember being like, all right, I got to see it. I got to see Endgame. Like, how are they going to come back? Like,
yeah,
so
absolutely.
It made up for it. So I didn't love the first 2 hours of Infinity War.
What do you mean? What about when Captain America shows up at the train station? Like, that is awesome. You're like, whoa.
But I like the second one. Like, I love Endgame. I love how it ends. I love all the different little cameos in the last battle. How it cuts to them, and you get to see each person doing something like it, that's incredible how they did that. Yes, execution level 952.
Yeah, a little hot take here. They ruined Hulk, and so
what do you mean?
From what I saw, okay, Hulk was so awesome in the Avengers. I don't know what they've done to him. They have him in Infinity War. Where he is a big Iron Man, and then
I don't know what happened to you.
I agree with Wes on
he
this.
Couldn't get the double hot takes out like of him,
Yeah, like, he couldn't get it out.
Trying to get him out, well, and I thought
he was beat up by Thanos, so it like gave him post-traumatic stress disorder in a way.
So Wes picked Avengers pussy. Because that's Hulk, right? Like Hulk just grabs Loki at the end of the movie and just slams him around, and that's Hulk done right. But Wes doesn't like this Iron Hulk.
Well, yeah, I didn't like how he went to like Iron Hulk. Yeah, I didn't like how, and then he went, you know, intellectual Hulk. And I know it was supposed to be, you know,
what is happening?
It's like it's Hulk's thinking.
Hulk just like, beating people up. That's what Wes likes.
Yeah, so. I mean that he's the Hulk, and so. Here's what I thought was going to happen, okay? I thought, all right, he can't get, you know, the real Hulk to come out. So he's got to be freaking Iron Man Hulk. And I thought, all right, during Endgame, the real Hulk's going to come back, and he's going to get in here, and he's going to be slamming people around, and it's going to be awesome. You know, all these monsters, and he's going to smash them all. You know, big Hulk smash coming. Hell no. He was just intellectual Hulk out there. Yeah, kinda,
the whole time. That's
kind of prancing around, and that let me down.
I actually agree.
Well, it's a good thought, and I think one of the reasons they did that is because when you know with Hulk at his peak,
he's too powerful.
He can beat Thanos, right? So they had to like figure out a way of like let's not have him strong anymore. Honestly. Right. I think that's probably it.
So it was just disappointing. I wanted to like I was okay. I thought it was really weird that he turned into run around this big Iron Man Hulk, because without Hulk, he's just a regular dude.
I know, right? It's like, why is this dude even around?
Right. Just like, if you can't get the Hulk to come out, man, just go home. Like,
go
just
home.
Pack it
you're
in.
Now Hawkeye.
Right.
Why is Hawkeye doing more? He can shoot arrows. Like, he's not even good with like modern weapons. He literally just shoots bow and arrows from the 1800s.
Well, not even that. I mean, Robin Hood is what from like.
Oh, yeah, like
14th century. So it's like, where did they get this guy?
14th century Avenger. Great.
Anyway, like a lot of there was a lot of really cool cameos, and not really cameos, but just like little scenes where they had like all these characters coming back and fighting and all that. And I liked it. I just was so disappointed with a couple of them. And one of them was Hulk. I didn't like what they did with him. And
I'm cracking up. Wes did not like. Iron Hulk nor Pepper Hulk.
Intellectual Hulk.
Or Pepper Iron Man, or I can't even keep track of all of them now. Or Intellectual Hulk.
Amazing. It's the best thing.
Well, here, two more quick points. I know we're trying to wrap this up. I just want to say this real quick. After what happened in real life with Chadwick Boseman, seeing him there, you know, as Black Panther and having, you know, some big moments in the film and stuff, that was really cool. To see, especially because, you know, that's it.
Absolutely.
You know, that's it for him. And I like how I'm glad he was spotlighted, got some really good kind of close-ups. And I think when they're trying to get away with the Nintendo Power Glove, you know, he's a big part of kind of making that happen, because he's such a fast superhero, you know, very absolutely. Agile and grabbed and took. So that was kind of cool. He had like a big part in. And,
yeah, I'm glad you mentioned him, because Black Panther was such a huge hit, a cultural event in a lot of ways, and it's a really good movie. And you know, Chadwick Boseman is awesome as Black Panther, so it's gonna be sad. He can't be in other movies. Yep, exactly. Absolutely.
And the last thing I was gonna say is, I think why I didn't enjoy Endgame as much is I liked, you know, how it ended and all that type of stuff, but. Thanos was such a great character. You know, you have the beginning where, of course, he gets destroyed pretty quickly. I didn't know where this was going. Again, I'm not reading the comic books and all that. And I didn't know what was going to happen, but I didn't like the time travel thing. I know that's the story. I just didn't like the time travel.
Oh, yeah. Thing. See, I really like that. I thought it was just so, like, interesting how they did that. Like, they were like, let's bring him back. Like, they defeated him, but let's bring him back. And he's... From the original, he's as powerful as he ever was. So I liked it a lot, but that's interesting. You weren't a fan of it.
Well, I thought it was so I know the original story's like that as well. But for a casual like myself, I felt like it was almost like a cop out, because now this technology or whatever could fall into the hands of, you know, future villains or whatever, and maybe they can go back in time and we can just redo all this over again. It's just like, where could it possibly end, kind of thing.
It's like comic books, and I think that's where some people don't like comic books. They never end. You're right. They just keep going, and they always have to come up with some new thing to reverse or retcon or go back in time or something like that. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you're right on that. That's where some people draw the line.
Black Widow kind of got a crappy send-off. They just kind of, oh, man, that sucks. And, she's dead.
But then they're like, all right, well, let's actually just do a movie.
Bring her back.
Like, yeah, let's bring her back. That was a bad, they did her wrong. They should have had her have a movie while she was still alive.
Right.
Dead.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, hilarious. My son, I think, he's just three, but I think that he thinks Black Widow is pretty because he kept talking about her. And I said, Liam, do you think Black Widow's pretty? And he goes, yeah. So he's always talking about, you know, Black Widow on screen. Yeah. So, you know, he likes her. And she's been a great character throughout the series. And that was a cool, like, emotional scene of her, you know, saving worthless Hawkeye. And I thought they would come back to that, but they didn't. They gave Iron Man a good send-off and Captain America a good send-off. But they were just like...
dead on the rocks.
Yeah, she's done. Okay. All right, I agree. I'm done. You can wrap it up.
Good thoughts, guys. Love it, Wes. Gabe, hit us with your number one, man.
All right, man. Now it's time for my number one.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all were just talking about it, you know, and I didn't even get to name my number one, Black Panther, Captain America, Winter Soldier. Like, that is my number one pick.
No, guys. You ain't doing three. What?
No, I mean, what?
You ain't doing three?
Why
can't
you do three?
That was two. That was Captain America, Winter Soldier, Black Panther. I mean,
that's
what we're all doing, right? No, I'm just kidding. That was, although if I did talk about Black Panther, I would talk about the big battle in Wakanda when he finally fights his, no, it's not going. My number one is Captain America, Winter Soldier. And I won't go into all the details because I think everybody's talked about it, but I will say, I think it's the reason I like this movie so much is the levity. Because Bucky is his best friend, and it makes the battle that much heavier. I don't love, you know, it's the same reason I love Captain America Civil War. I don't love Captain America Civil War, but when you have that battle at the end between Captain America and Iron Man, like, I was all in, you know, because they're two friends and they're fighting and there's so much behind it. Same thing.
That battle's awesome.
Yeah, that battle is amazing. But same thing behind Bucky, and when Bucky's fighting Captain America, that's heavy. And so that's what makes that movie so good, combined with some of the most incredible action scenes you'll ever see in a movie, in my opinion. We didn't even talk about it, but that elevator scene when he's in the elevator and he's like, does anybody want to get out right now?
Yes.
And then he like beats up everybody in a closed space. Like, there's so many sequences that I could talk about.
I love when Nick Fury gets hijacked on the road and he almost dies. That's a great scene.
When he slams his shield into that gigantic aircraft or whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot of really cool sequences in this movie. I think it's the overall friend that he's, you know, having to fight. That's what really does this movie in for me. And it really hit me on all emotions.
He's like, trying to save his friend at the end of the day.
I get emotional during this film, and it's an action film. And I've seen it four times. I love this movie. Man, it's got some... I think it's, if you really like action movies, you're going to like this movie. It's got really great action scenes with not too much CGI. It does have a bunch of CGI, but not too much. So that's my number one.
Gabe, no, it's a great pick. I know we've already talked about it quite a bit, but another thing is, you know, another reason I like it is it's kind of like a buddy road movie too. You know, you have Captain America goes on the road with Black Widow, but he's also got his buddies with, you know, he's trying to save his friend, but he's also got Falcon there who's helping him. So it's got a lot of that interplay, which once again, you know, one of the reasons why these Marvel movies are so successful is the interplay between the characters. So, yeah, it's a great pick, Gabe.
Yeah, and I like that. I got to pick two, and I like your new strategy. Wes's new strategy is just pretend like Gabe doesn't have a number one pick.
Yeah, that's interesting.
True Slytherin.
Well, I think Wes was like, well, Tommy picked two as his final, so we'll just skip Gabe. Well, guys, I think we did it. I think we...
Yeah, I think a lot of the consensus on the best Marvel films, a lot of them are going to have Winter Soldier as number one. So, excellent pick.
Yeah.
And we all had similar crossovers. Maybe Wes is more of a Marvel fan than he thinks. He keeps this Marvel top five in his wallet for occasions like this. This is impressive.
Yeah. Just never know when you're going to need it.
We did good, guys. Well, hey, let's wrap it up here. Any final thoughts on Marvel in general? Any final things you guys want to talk about?
I'm just glad we're done with Marvel movies. You know, I'm glad we had Endgame. That's it. You know,
it's over, right?
It's over.
There's more coming, my friend. There's more coming.
I'm looking forward to some Doctor Strange, my boys. Stay strange. And then I'm also looking forward to the new Guardians. And there's several coming out. So
Thor and the new Black Panther.
Yeah, the new Black Panther.
There's like four coming out this year.
Wes, you going to come to all these with me?
No.
Okay.
I will. The little clip that they showed at the end of the new Spider-Man movie did get me excited for what's next.
That's exciting. All right. Well, I think we're good then on Marvel. We've Marveled each other out. We've entered the multiverse. We've done it all, guys. You know, the thing about Marvel is it doesn't end, just like comic books. So hopefully we can do another episode about Marvel in the future. I'm glad we could finally talk about comics, because that's a genre that is really kind of the dominant genre in Hollywood, but we really haven't touched on a whole lot. So I'm glad we could do this, and it was a lot of fun. So thanks for joining us, guys. Wes, I'm sorry that we had that mix-up, man. I don't know what happened, but hopefully it won't happen again.
It won't happen again.
Can't promise anything, really.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see.
All right, guys. Well, hey, we got fun episodes in the future. Stay tuned to Real Talk, as always. Follow us on Twitter. Email us, guys. Wes, what's that email? Kick that email out.
Oh, well, we got to get that out here. I mean, we're really trying to get our email numbers up for literally no reason in particular. We just like to see them come through. It just makes us feel good. And so that is realtalkmoviecast@gmail.com. So don't forget to send us an email.
A lot of podcasts focus on reviews so they can get traffic to their podcast or listens. We don't really give a crap about any of that. Just email us.
Okay? Just want to email.
Email us.
We want to get that email traffic up. That's what we're focused on. You can also follow us on Twitter @real_cast and join our Facebook group. We've got a fun Facebook group out there. I think we're going to talk about some Marvel movies this week, so that'll be a lot of fun. Of course, you can just search for us, Real Talk, a Movie Podcast. So thanks again for listening. Subscribe, like, all of that. We so appreciate everyone out there that listens to us, follows us. Y'all are the best. Thanks for joining us in the multiverse. And for us, that's a wrap.